Krishna. But to say that God can't appear in the material elements is contradictory to their own history. He appeared as a burning bush. And
translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The king continued, O great Brahmana, this is my great doubt. How is it possible for a person like King Priyavrata, who was so attached to wife, children, and home, to achieve the topmost infallible perfection in Krishna consciousness? Purport. King Parikshit wondered how a person so attached to wife, children, and home could become so perfectly Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaj has said, Matirna Krishne Patasvatova Mitobhibhadyeta Griyavratanam. A Griyavrata, one who has taken a vow to execute family duties, has no chance to become Krishna conscious. This is because most Griyavratas are guided by sense gratification and therefore gradually glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram. How can they possibly become perfect in Krishna consciousness? Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami to resolve this great doubt. Text 5. Sri Shuka Uvacha Bhadham Utkatam Bhagavata Uttama Shlokasya Srimach Charavindana Makarandarasa Avisheta Chetaso Bhagavata Paramahansa Daita Katam Kanchid Antaraya Vihitam Svam Shivatmanam Paravim Na Payena Hinvanti. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, what you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent, transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarine honey at the Lord's lotus feet, and whose mind is always absorbed in His glories, may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired. Purport. Sri Shukadeva Goswami accepted both of the king's propositions, that a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness cannot embrace materialistic life again, and that one who has embraced materialistic life cannot take up Krishna consciousness at any stage of his existence. Although accepting both these statements, Shukadeva Goswami qualified them by saying that a person who has once absorbed his mind in the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may sometimes be influenced by impediments, but he still does not give up his exalted devotional position. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are two kinds of impediments in devotional service. The first is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. This is called Vaishnava Aparat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his devotees not to commit Vaishnava Aparat, which he described as the mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a beautiful garden, it destroys everything, leaving a barren field. Similarly, the power of Vaishnava Aparat is so great that even an advanced devotee becomes almost devoid of his spiritual assets if he commits it. Since Krishna consciousness is eternal, it cannot be destroyed altogether, but advancement may be checked for the time being. Thus, Vaishnava Aparat is one kind of impediment to devotional service. Sometimes, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee desires to impede one's devotional service. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were formerly Jaya and Vijaya, the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha, but by the desire of the Lord they became His enemies for three lives. Thus, the desire of the Lord is another kind of impediment. But in both cases, the pure devotee, when advanced in Krishna consciousness, cannot be lost. Following the orders of his superiors, Swayambhuva and Lord Brahma, King Priyavrata accepted family life, but this did not mean he lost his position in devotional service. Krishna consciousness is perfect and eternal, and therefore it cannot be lost under any circumstance. Because the material world is full of obstructions to advancement in Krishna consciousness, there may appear to be many impediments. Yet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declares in Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kunteya, Kunteya Patijanihi, Name Bhakta Panashyati. Once one has taken shelter, the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. In this verse, the word Shivatmanam is very significant. Shivatmam means the most auspicious. The devotional path is so auspicious that a devotee cannot be lost under any circumstances. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. Partha naveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate. My dear Arjuna, for a devotee there is no question of being lost, either in this life or in the next. In Bhagavad Gita, again, the Lord explains how this is so. Tattatam bhutisam yogam labhate purodehikam yatate chatato bhuya samshido kurunandana. By the order of the Lord, a perfect devotee sometimes comes to this material world like an ordinary human being. Because of his previous practice, such a devotee naturally becomes attached to devotional service, apparently without cause. Despite all kinds of impediments due to surrounding circumstances, he automatically perseveres in devotional service and gradually advances until he once again becomes perfect. Bhivamangal Thakur had been an advanced devotee in his previous life, but in his next life he became greatly fallen and was attached to a prostitute. Suddenly, however, his entire behavior was changed by the words of that very prostitute, who had so much attracted him, and he became a great devotee. In the lives of exalted devotees, there are many such instances proving that once one has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. Kunteye patijanihi name bhakta panasyati. The fact is, however, that one becomes a devotee when he is completely free from all reactions to sinful life. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Yeshan Twantagata Papam Gananam Punya Karmanam Tedvanda Mohanir Mukta Bhajantimam Dudavrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from the duality of illusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. On the other hand, as Prahlad Maharaj has said, Matirna Krishne Pratasvatova Mito Bibhadyeta Grihavratanam. A person who is too attached to materialistic family life, home, family, wife, children, and so on, cannot develop Krishna consciousness. These apparent contradictions are resolved in the life of a devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord, and therefore a devotee is never bereft of his position on the path of liberation, which is described in this verse as Shivatmatam Padavim. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, that's all right. What you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarine honey at the Lord's lotus feet and his mind is always absorbed in his glories may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jainatas Mai Sigurdave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. After Srila Prabhupada had been successful in preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western countries, sometimes foolish persons in India would criticize that these Westerners have taken to the process of devotional service without any qualifications. And we are seeing that from time to time, some of them are falling. So what is the use? Going to all the trouble to go to the Western countries to preach to the Malechas and to the Yavanas, and then they fall down from the platform of devotional service. So Prabhupada's challenge was, what is the loss? If a person takes to Krishna consciousness for some time, and then due to some worldly mindedness, he falls from the path of Krishna consciousness, what is the loss? Actually, he's gained an eternal benefit. He'll never lose whatever advancement he has gained. That is the main theme of this shloka and this purport today. And then Prabhupada would continue by saying, he would sometimes quote the Christians, that what gaineth a man, if he gains the whole world, but he loses his eternal soul. A materialistic person engaged in udgra karma, or useless work, may appear to be very successful, to have gained so much, but at one stage, what happens? Everything is lost, the moment of death. He works so hard his entire life for material profit, adoration, and distinction. But then death comes. Surprisingly, death comes at one moment and everything is lost. So, this is not the fate of a devotee. Prabhupada said, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. Initiation means that point when we come close to the spiritual master, by taking vows and devotional service, we become fixed in Krishna consciousness. At that point where we surrender ourselves to the Lord and his devotee, Krishna takes charge. And whatever advancement one has made on the path of devotional service, that is an eternal benefit. And even if one does fall down, Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who goes. Be surprised who stays. Because this material energy is so powerful. But if one does fall from the path of Krishna consciousness, he is not a loser. Whatever advancement he has made, he retains that. Just like one time we were with Śrīla Prabhupāda in Detroit, and he was about to give Śrīmad Bhāgavatam class, and he picked up his kartals, and as he picked up his kartals, he tapped them, they rung, very nice sweet sound, and that was a cue for one of the young children in the audience. This child was only 2 years old. The child picked up his little kartals hanging around his neck and started going ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So, Prabhupada noticed, he said, oh, he said, just see, this could only have happened if this child has performed devotional service in a previous life. Otherwise, how is he taking so spontaneously to this process? So this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna's apprehension is, what is the fate of the unsuccessful transcendentalist? Is he cast just like a riven cloud? Just like sometimes we see a cloud in the sky, a very beautiful cloud, and a strong wind comes, and the cloud is finished, you can't see. So this is Arjuna's question. What happens to the unsuccessful yogi? Is he just... And then Krishna explains, no. The unsuccessful yogi, he takes birth in the family of wealthy merchants, or he takes birth in the family of transcendentalists, and he becomes attracted to the principles of yoga, even without seeking them. He has a spontaneous attraction. Even without trying, he becomes again attracted. Whatever advancement he made, 50%, 52%, 53%, whatever it is, he begins his next life. So, this is the glories of devotional service. Krishna says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never be vanquished. He asks Arjuna to say it, because some people may not accept Krishna's word. Because Krishna made a promise that he would not take part in the battle of Kurukshetra. He made this promise. He said, you will all fight. I will be on the side of the Pandavas and I'll give my army to the Kauravas. But I personally will not participate in this battle. But the battle was raging. And during the battle, Bhishma Dev, the valiant grandsire of the Pandavas, Bhishma, he was accused by the Kauravas of being partial. He was on the side of the Kauravas. So they're saying, but you're not fighting to your full strength. Just look, this Arjuna is still living. You're a much more powerful warrior than Arjuna. And how is Arjuna still living? That means you're not being a real Kshatriya. You're not doing your duty. You're partial. Kshatriyas are supposed to do their duty without any sentiment, even if it means killing their own brothers, their own father. So Bhishma said, no, no, I'm not being partial. Then they said, take a vow. He said, I vow that tomorrow I will fight to my utmost capacity and I will kill Arjuna. Or let the Lord's wrath be upon me. So he made a promise. So next day during the battle of Kurukshetra, it was a raging battle, and Bhishma came up into combat with Arjuna. It was a fierce battle. But actually Bhishma was so powerful. He was so powerful that he was defeating Arjuna. And he actually knocked the wheel off the chariot of Arjuna. And there was a major battle going back and forth like this. So when Arjuna was fixing the wheel like that, Bhishma got off his chariot and he aimed an arrow right to kill Arjuna. At that point, Krishna got off the chariot, took the wheel that Arjuna was fixing and ran toward Bhishma, whoosh, like his Sudarshan, whoosh, poof, to kill Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev was stunned. Actually, he was in transcendental ecstasy because this is their rasa, a chivalrous, ghastly chivalrous rasa between Bhishma and the Lord. But actually, the Lord broke his promise. He broke his promise. He wasn't going to fight in the battle, but he did. But therefore, he's actually glorified. He's not a mundane moralist. He just wants to keep his promise. He's called Bhaktivatsala. Bhaktivatsala is a much more important quality than the Lord being an ordinary mundane moralist. Actually, Bhaktivatsala means that he never fails in his affection for his devotees. So both, in order to protect Arjuna and to uphold the promise of Bhishma. In other words, he did two things by this one act, getting off the chariot. He upheld his claim that he will always protect his devotee. And number two, he allowed Bhishma to do his best to try to kill Arjuna, but the Lord intervened. So some people may say, but he didn't keep his promise. But his affection for his devotees is much more important unto the Lord than some ordinary moralist promise that he may make, Bhaktivatsala. So therefore, Krishna says, Arjuna, you tell them. Declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish, because they may not believe me, because I said something but I didn't follow it, out of my affection for you. So you tell them. Declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. And that is a fact. Once one has begun the process of devotional service, that is an eternal benefit. It will never be lost. But one may be temporarily impeded in the process of Krishna consciousness. So although that promise is there by the Lord that the devotee will never be vanquished, the Lord, the devotee, should be very careful. Because just as we see in the pastime of Bharat Maharaj was very nicely executing devotional service. He was so elevated, he was on the platform of bhava. When he chanted Hare Krishna, tears flowed from his eyes, his hair stood on end, he felt quivering and shaking throughout his body. He was at the platform of spontaneous devotion for the Lord. But we know the story, how he developed an affection for a little deer. And that little seed of sense gratification entered into his heart and destroyed his entire devotional service. So just see how careful a devotee has to be. Devotees enjoying this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. It is so purifying that from the gross conditioned state, we are becoming Vaishnavas, developing all good qualities. Yas yastra bhaktir bhavatiya kinchana sabhaya gunastatta samasute shura. This is the most wonderful thing. It is no less a miracle than changing bell metal into gold. There is a process in the Vedas which tells you you can turn this inox into a solid gold cup. It's an amazing thing. You just drink mercury at night time, and in the morning when you go to the washroom, you urinate on the bell metal and it turns to gold. Thing is, you have to be a yogi to do it. So it's an amazing thing. But no less amazing, and perhaps even more significant, is that an ordinary, mundane, conditioned soul can be turned into a Vaishnava by proper diksha and training in Krishna consciousness. This Prabhupada would present as his miracle. He would be challenged, what is your miracle? Can you Can you make bell metal, or rather, can you make gold watches appear? Can you make ashes come from your hands? Can you do all these things that we see so many mystics, Bhagavans doing? And Prabhupada said, I'm not, these things are cheap miracles. My miracle is these boys and girls. These boys and girls have all become Vaishnavas. They were addicted to sinful activity and sense gratification, and now you'll never catch my devotee going to a movie. We said yesterday. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakanchati. They're fixed on the platform of devotional service. The devotional process is so purifying and so quickly. It happens so quickly. The process is happening so quickly. But a devotee is very careful to guard that precious opportunity of Krishna consciousness from anything entering in which could deter his progress in devotional service. Even just a small amount of sense gratification can deteriorate that golden opportunity, just like a germ. How big is a germ? You have this big, strong, powerful body, but a little germ, a typhoid germ, you can only see it under a microscope, it's so small. But once that tiny little germ enters into the body, it creates havoc, isn't it? A little typhoid, a little smallpox, a little cholera, you can't even see it with the naked eye. You need a powerful microscope to see it. But what does it do? It's so small. It comes in the body, it creates chaos and havoc. So a devotee is very careful to guard against material desires, which can also create havoc in the life of the devotee. Maharaj Bharat was so advanced, but he developed an affection for a deer. How is it possible? How is it possible that he developed an affection for a deer when he was on such an exalted platform of devotional service? It wasn't because of his past karmic reactions. It wasn't necessarily because of the desires that were there in his heart, whatever little tinge was left there. Prabhupada said it was because of direct disobedience to the orders of his spiritual master. We're protected because we take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. By his strength, we are going on in devotional service. By his mercy, Yasya Prasad, Bhagavat Prasado, it's by the mercy of the spiritual master that we're making advancement in devotional service. And by pleasing him, we can make so much advancement. But by displeasing the spiritual master, we create chaos in our life. So actually, Bharat Maharaj was a very exalted devotee. And it wasn't because of anything that was necessarily in his heart that caused him to fall down, but it was because he disobeyed the instructions of his preceptors that actually, probably direct disobedience was the cause of Bharat Maharaj's falling down. So we say, we've seen in our movement, there's so many advanced devotees, they're so much more advanced than me, they've done so much devotional service, and what? I'm not as advanced to them, I'm not doing as much devotional service, what is my hope? How am I going to make? I have so many dirty things in the heart. That's all right. Those dirty things in the heart may be there, but you're protected. The vaccination is there in following the instructions of the spiritual master. As long as we don't deviate, then we'll be protected. So, advancement in devotional service is never lost, but it can be temporarily impeded, just like Bharat Maharaj, he was doing very nicely, but then he gave up his body in material consciousness. He was thinking of a deer. Certainly this is not a very glorious fate for a transcendentalist. He was an exalted soul, but he gave up his body thinking of a deer, so he had to take the body of a deer. Whereas we see our beloved godmother, Jayananda, who had only been practicing Krishna consciousness for 10 years. When he left his body, he was hearing the holy name, so he went back to Godhead. Prabhupada said that Krishna is very kind. He has taken away this diseased body and has given you a body just suitable to your devotional service. He said, at the moment of your death, perhaps it is that you have gone to the heavenly planets to enjoy 10,000 years like the on the level of the demigods. He said, but because you were hearing the holy name, he said, I think you have gone back home, back to Godhead. So here's a devotee who's an exalted personality, but he wasn't exhibiting bhava. But he was completely attached to Śrīla Prabhupāda. So therefore, at the moment of his death, He was listening to Prabhupada chant, Hare Krishna, Vandeyam, Sri Guru, Sita, Padakamalam, dead. Back home, back to Godhead. Whereas Bharat Maharaj, he was a very exalted soul, but he took the birth of an animal because he disobeyed his authorities. So just see, Yasya Devi Pada Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru. How important is faith in Guru? It is essential for our advancement in Krishna consciousness to take shelter of the lotus feet is by the spiritual master's mercy. What is our qualification? Even as it's mentioned, by one's previous birth, one again takes the opportunity for devotional service. One time a devotee was sitting with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was explaining this principle. Yesham, what is the verse? Activity. So, our only qualification is the mercy of the spiritual master. As our only qualification. It's by his grace only that we are progressing. So Bharat Maharaj, he had a temporary slip up, but he didn't become like an ordinary materialist who takes birth in a family of deer, dogs, or whatever. It was a temporary impediment to his devotional service because he retained his devotional consciousness from his previous birth. And in the body of a deer, he remembered Krishna. And he was so serious that despite I'm in this situation, I have this obstacle, this impediment before me, still I'm going to be so determined that in this lifetime, I'm not going to make a mess. How can a deer make a mess? How can a deer slip up? But he was so determined that in this body of a deer, he's not going to waste a minute. So what he used to do, where there were sages who were speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in the forest, he used to go and sit there and listen and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And this way, he remained fixed in Krishna consciousness, although he was temporarily impeded in his devotional service. And his next lifetime, he took birth as Jatabharat. And even in that birth, he was so cautious, he was so careful. Just see what I've done. I've made a mistake. But now I'm going to be so careful. This is the mentality of one who makes a mistake. Not even a gross mistake, even a subtle mistake. Mistakes may be there. But don't make the same mistake twice. Once, twice, all right, but thrice, not very good. So we are learning to walk. Sometimes we get up, sometimes we stumble. We may not fall down grossly, but in the mind even we may fall down. Like Prabhupada said, for a sannyasi to hear a woman singing, that's a fall down. For brahmachari, just to momentarily just let the mind rest on this object, and again, oops, that's also a fall down. So who in this Kali Yuga is not falling down? Where is that devotee? Who is not grossly or subtly sometimes influenced by this material energy? Therefore, we have to be so careful in dealing with devotees. We do not know how advanced a devotee actually is. He may be temporarily fallen, but that is not his real glory. So therefore, it's stated that for someone who is very advanced, you offer your obeisances. For someone who is at equal level, you make friendship. Or for someone who has fallen, you do not disrespect that devotee. Even he's still considered in the eyes of the Lord exalted. We may not intimately associate with some devotee who's fallen and engaged in sinful activity and sense gratification and so forth in the material world. But still, respects are offered in the mind. Do you see how glorious devotional service is? Temporarily covered. But still, we're not to condemn. You fool, nonsense, demon. That's Vaishnava Parada. We may not intimately want that person's association because he's addicted to wine and women. But the fact that he has practiced Krishna consciousness means that the Lord is not going to forget him. He may temporarily forget the Lord, but the Lord is not going to forget that service that he has rendered. Just like Gaur Nitai. Gaur Nitai don't consider the offenses, they consider the service. That's why generally we begin to worship Gaur Nitai. They won't accept the offenses. No, sir, no thank you. We won't accept the offenses. We'll only accept your service. The Lord is so merciful. The devotees are so merciful that they see that is the real heart of their servant, of their devotee. So how careful we have to be in dealing with devotees. Of course, non-devotees, we shun their association. But someone who's rendered devotional service, we should be careful. He may just be temporarily covered for the moment and again take up. Of course, we don't want to intimately take a fallen person's association, but once that service has been rendered, Krishna won't forget. So, then he became Jadabharat. And Jadabharat, again, he was so careful. Again, this is the point I wanted to make. That when fall down is there, gross or subtle, what is a devotee's mentality? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, even if one does the most abominable activity, he's to be considered saintly if he's properly situated. So what is the proper prayaschitya, or the proper atonement for fall down, for deviating from the process of Krishna? Again, take up the process of Krishna consciousness. That is the process. The process is so potent that if we do fall down, then we take up, again, we continue in devotional service. And what is our mentality? Now I'm going to be so careful. Just see how powerful this material energy is. Once burnt, twice shy. Yes, from time to time, perhaps, it is that, you know. But Krishna says, if my devotee is properly situated, I accept him. He's a saint. So we see so many Vaishnavas have come from the conditioned state, from a fallen state, but they have become devotees. Even they've slipped up. As Prabhupada said, it's not how you... Well, Prabhupada didn't say, there's a saying, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So we have to situate ourselves properly in Krishna consciousness so that we can go on with the process without being disturbed. And a little distraction is there, then we're so much more careful. So that was Jadabharat. Jadabharat was a Paramahansa devotee of the Lord. Actually, by taking birth as a deer, he'd learned a good lesson. So then in the body of Jadabharat, he was extremely careful. Na dhanam na janam nu sundarim. Never to associate with wealth, never to associate with the opposite sex, and he was especially careful about fame and reputation. Because he was such an exalted devotee, he felt that perhaps if people recognized him, this would be an impediment to his advancement. He may become attached. So therefore he kept himself like a dumb fool. He was an exalted Paramahansa, and as he walked around society, he kept himself covered. He went naked. His hair was all disheveled. He was dirty. But even though he was dirty and his hair was disheveled, still he was glowing because of his transcendental effulgence. But nonetheless, people would spit on him. They would urinate on him. They'd throw rocks at him. They'd play jokes on him. They'd pass foul air in front of him. This was all going on. But he wanted to keep himself hidden just so that he didn't again make a mistake in Krishna consciousness. He just wanted to go through life just making sure that in this lifetime he would become Krishna conscious. He was so careful. So as a dumb looking beast, he was employed in the service of Maharaj Rahugana. Maharaj Rahugana was a very puffed up king, and he wanted to go somewhere in his palanquin. So they needed one more person to carry the palanquin. So here's a dumb beast, employ him. It won't cost anything. He's just an animal in the form of a man. So they employed him. But as he was walking, he began to manifest his exalted qualities. Then a devotee doesn't want to cause harm to any living entity. Although everyone was harming him, he didn't want to cause harm to any living entity. So as the ants were coming on the path, he was, whoop, whoop, watch out, whoop, an ant, whoop, whoop. And the palanquin was going like this. So the king was chastening, you dumb beast in the form of a man. Why are you doing it? Don't you realize who I am? I am the king. You are my servant. You are meant to do my business. So that was enough. So taking compassion upon this puffed up materialistic king, Jadabharat appeared from under the palanquin and said, you are thinking you are the king, but actually you are eternal spirit soul. And you are puffed up. Actually, there we are equal. Because we are part and parcel of God. And you are making so many offenses to all the living. And he went and was preaching very strongly. And the king was, wow. And he heard this eloquent dissertation from this animal beast in the form of a man. He realized, actually, excuse me, sir, you are some elevated soul. And he said, O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with dirty things, and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride, although I am the king. Due to my material conditioning, I am suffering. However, your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine for one burning by such a fever. And are the nidhagadagdasya, the soothing waters for one scorched by the heat. Nidhagadagdasya means the soothing waters, scorched by the heat. So, and then he recognized the transcendental nature of Jada Bharat. So like that, we may not necessarily be able to appreciate even in our neophyte stage, who is an exalted devotee. Just like recently in Mayapur, I think Yadanath was telling me, someone was telling me, that I asked about Jaya Pataka Maharaj's class on Gaur Purnima, and he said he was just speaking about the devotees, that we do not know how many exalted devotees are in this movement. Our tendency is to point out this and that, and look at that fall, look at that guy. We do not know who's an exalted devotee. We have to be very careful. And then Gaur Govinda Maharaj is also giving a darshan. He said, there are so many paramahansas in this society. So one devotee asked, well, could you tell us who they are? Where are they? No, you have to find out yourself. But there are so many paramahansas in this movement. So that is actually the proper mentality. Trinadapi sanichana, todapi sahisana, amanina amanina, kirtani yad sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, making himself lower than the straw on the street, more taller than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others and expect none for myself. We criticize others to make ourselves go higher. But actually the proper mentality, realizing my fallen condition, is to recognize the exalted qualities. How do I know? Maybe he is Paramahansa. But even if he's chanting Hare Krishna, I want his association, he's a great soul. Grihe tako panidako. Whether he's sannyasi, whether he's grihastra, doesn't make any difference. Giva vipra giva niyase sudrukina. Ye Krishna tadaveya se guru haya. He may be what he is, but if he knows the science of Krishna, I want his association. He may be black man, he may be white man, he may be Russian, he may be American, he may be this, he may be that, he may have been a drunkard, he may have been a fool and a rascal. But now he knows the science of Krishna. I want his association. Actually, we, in the ultimate sense, we cannot make distinction between a Nitya Siddha and someone who's become perfect from the conditioned stage. It's actually an offense to consider a Vaishnava according to his past birth, according to the color of his skin, according to his body, the deformations in his body. You cannot judge a Vaishnava necessarily by his appearance. We can understand someone when they speak. That is how you can understand someone by his realizations, by when he speaks. Just like Abraham Lincoln said, better to be thought a fool and remain silent than to speak up and remove all doubt. Better to be thought a fool and remain silent than to speak up and remove all doubt. But not the case in a devotee. When a devotee speaks and glorifies the Lord, then we can appreciate their Krishna consciousness. So Jada Bharat was appearing just like a fool, like a covered beast, but when he spoke, his words pierced the illusion of King Rahugana. And with the Nidhagadagdasya, they were the soothing waters for his burning up in his material consciousness, which he was very offensive to a Vaishnava. So, that actually Prabhupada's, that's the main theme, one main theme in Prabhupada's purport. There are two types of impediments in devotion. Anyone can advance in Krishna consciousness. There's no heart, there's no qualifications or disqualifications for anyone coming to the process of devotional. Anyone can come to Krishna consciousness and make it. Doesn't matter, Jaghai and Madhai got delivered. Anyone can come. Everyone has equal opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. But there are two impediments. One is that the Lord may impede our devotional service, which is, you know, a very special case. Very special, like for instance, Jai and Vijay. The Lord impeded their devotional service by you know, causing them to fall down into this material world, so he had someone to fight with. But don't, we shouldn't think, oh yes, you know, the Lord, he has caused me to fall. No, that is not why we are, that is not our obstacle. Our obstacle is our own misuse of our independence. And Prabhupada mentions that there are two types of impediments, and he mentions the first is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. So there are 10 offenses to the holy name. Prabhupada doesn't even mention the other 9. He just mentions this one offense as the impediment to advancing in devotion. He could have elaborated on so many different impediments to the, and they're all important, of course, but this is a paramount offense in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Offense to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. It is a hatimata. It is a mad elephant offense. Actually, if one offends the Lord, he can be forgiven. Prakasananda Saraswati and his Mayavadis, they were ridiculing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, blaspheming him to him, speaking so much nonsense, but still they got delivered. So even if one offends the Lord, he still can be delivered. But if one offends the holy name, there's no chance of being delivered. So this appears to be contradictory. How is it that the holy name and the Lord are the same? So how can we make a distinction? That if we blaspheme Krishna, still by the grace of the Lord we can be delivered. By the grace of his devotee we can be delivered. But if we offend the holy name, which is not different than the Lord, then we can't make any advancement. This sounds contradictory. So how do we understand it? We understand it by the fact that the holy name of the Lord is the Lord's mercy incarnation. So if you bite the hand that feeds you, watch out. Just like, you know, somebody may be walking down the street and you say, hey, you nonsense. Hey, well, what about you, buddy? And you walk on, you know. But if your close friend comes down, right, and you say, hey, you nonsense, I'm your friend. How can you say that? I'm your friend. I've given you, you know, so much money, and I set you up in the business, and you call me a nonsense. You just say to anybody, hey, you nonsense. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. But if you say to your intimate friend, you know, you're just a rascal, you know. Okay, give me my money back. So, that is the holy name is Krishna's mercy. It's his kindness upon the conditioned souls. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Badayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurtvase Namaha. There's no more merciful incarnation of Krishna than Lord Chaitanya, because he's freely bestowing love of Godhead upon all the conditioned souls. He's saying, take it! Take love of God here. Just take it. As Krishna, he was making a condition. Surrender. Very simple. That's all. Just surrender. No yoga, no asanas, no charity, you know, no penance, no austerity, nothing. Just surrender. Everything. You get everything. Still they couldn't do. Who surrendered to Krishna 5,000? A few. You could see them on your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He made it so simple. But Lord Chaitanya, he's making it impossible not to surrender. Take it! Here, love of Godhead! Take it! Take some more! Take some more! So, in the form of the holy name? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, if we become offensive in that regard, offensive to the holy name, the mercy is there, the love, it's compassion, just coming, and then we turn to then you can't make any advancement. You can offend Krishna, and still in the future there may be some hope for your deliverance. But if you're offensive to that incarnation of Krishna's mercy and compassion in the form of the holy name, you can't make it. So therefore, you know, the process is very simple, but it's not cheap. The process is chanting Hare Krishna. It's very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What could be more difficult than that? More simple than that? Even the Zulus, with all due respect, the Zulus, you know, they can't remember the whole mantra. When we go to the villages in Africa, they can't remember the whole mantra. So we go, Hare Krishna, and Aya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. They repeat like that. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. It's so simple, three words, Hare Krishna and Rama. But it's not cheap. The process is not cheap. We have to chant the holy name without offense. So the first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to serving the Lord's, serving the Lord. Krishna says, there's none more dear to me than he who is preaching my message. That is a Vaishnava. What is a Vaishnava? We said the offense to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. What is a Vaishnava? What distinguishes a Vaishnava from all other classes of transcendentalists? Vancha kalpatudubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnava. He is full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. He is the Lord's ambassador within this material world. He is the Lord's representative. So if you please him, you please Krishna. And if you displease him, you displease Krishna. Just like the ambassador is the one sole representative of his country in a foreign state. And if you please him, the whole country is pleased with you. And if you displease him, the whole country on the other side of the ocean, they'll be displeased with you. So that one person is the embodiment of that country. So the devotee is the embodiment of Krishna's mercy to those fallen souls in this material world. And if we displease that person, if we offend that person, watch out. Just like in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother. What was her name? I think it was Saruchi, wasn't it? Anyway, he was ridiculed, actually, by her. You cannot sit on my lap. You have not come from my womb. You are not the actual son of the king. You were born from that lower class woman calling herself a queen. Get off my lap. So, he became angry. I'll get my own kingdom then. And he went to his mother. Where do I find God? He's in the forest. That's what I've heard from the sages. You go to the forest, you'll find him. All right. Then Narada Muni, I want to see God. I want to a kingdom greater than my father's and my grandfather's and my great-great-grandfather's. And Narada Muni said, you're just a little boy. You're 5 years old. You better go home. So Narada said, if you don't want to help me, you go home. But I'm going to stay here until I realize God. So he was so determined. So Narada, all right, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, chant this mantra, everything will be all right. So then, actually, he achieved perfection by following the instructions of Narada Muni, by the grace of Narada Muni. He was so determined. Even he had a material ambition. Still, Narada Muni said, all right, just like that verse, Akama Samakamuva Mokshakamu Daridi Tivena Bhakti Yogena Yajute Purusha Param. Whether one is full of material desires, whether one has no material desires, whether one is desiring liberation, by all means he should worship the complete whole personality of Godhead. Because even you come with material motivations, you'll become purified by approaching Krishna. So he employed him in that way. And then when Dhruva Maharaj actually realized Krishna, then he could see the difference between, you know, his material ambitions and Krishna. So this process is so wonderful. So then, Narada Muni explained to him what was going to happen now. That because this queen, his stepmother, had offended him, she would come one day to the forest to look for her son, Narada's, Dhruva's brother, Uttama, I think his name. He had gone to the forest, but he didn't come back. So in anxiety, she went to the forest and she would be burned up in a forest fire. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that was because of her offense to a Vaishnava. She was offensive to Dhruva Maharaj. As a result, she got burned up in a... She didn't know. The Prabhupada said, that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. That one can make advancement even without knowing it. Agata Sukriti. You can get the mercy of a Vaishnava and not even know you got it. And you can make advancement. Agata Sukriti. you just eat some prasadam on the street, you buy a book, unbelievable amount of advancement will be there. Prabhupada said, you take a book, I read it yesterday, you take a book, you don't take an animal body, you get a human birth. How powerful is this? By the mercy of a devotee. So even without knowing it, without knowing that you're pleasing a devotee, you make heaps of spiritual advancement. At the same time, if you don't know you're offending a devotee, still, you get the reaction. If you please him without knowing, you get so much benefit. And if you displease or you offend a Vaishnava without knowing it, ignorance is no excuse. Just like fire, Prabhupada said, fire will burn at the hand of the little girl, whether she knows it or not. That's the law. So that is the potency of a Vaishnava. So you can go all the way back to Godhead just by pleasing a devotee. Yasya prasad, bhagavat prasado, yasya prasad, nagati gutopi, dayam stivam, we are singing every morning. Just by engaging in this process, what do you want me to do, Prabhupada? Distribute my books, clean the temple, serve the deity nicely, wash the pots. It's not necessary that because we're scrubbing those pots, we're cleaning this 3-meter floor, we're doing, you know, that's not that. It's not like the Christians say, it's not by work alone. It's because we're giving pleasure to a pure devotee. We're giving pleasure to the spiritual master. That is the key. Hanuman was throwing boulders. The spider was kicking in little grains of sand, but they were both doing it with devotion, so they both got the result. So again, as I said yesterday, our success in Krishna consciousness is there. If we have absolute faith in the spiritual master and unconditional service to his lotus feet. Because it is only by his mercy that we're making advancement. And if we disobey his instructions, then we can only expect, even if it's a tiny instruction, even if it's a tiny, we just deviate a little bit, we can expect that there'll be some problem. Like the typhoid germ, it is a tiny germ, but it creates havoc. So to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master means that we can create havoc. But still the process is so glorious that even if you do fall down from the platform of devotional sleep, you're never lost. It's only a question of time until you continue again. But why should we wait? Jadabharat, or rather Bharat Maharaj, he had to wait for his next lifetime. So it may be that some devotees leave this movement and they fall down into gross sense gratification. Well, it's lamentable. But it's not like the position of the materialists. Prabhupada will never let them go because of the service they've rendered. But it may be that it may take many months, many years, a lifetime. It may take many lifetimes. So we don't want to wait. We want to be eager. One time a devotee said, Prabhupada, I want to come back and just preach in this Kali Yuga. Prabhupada said, don't come back. Of course, on another occasion, he said, that's first class. But in this particular occasion, to impress a certain point, there was, I want to come back. But I said, forget it. Don't come back. This Kali Yuga is so hellish. Don't come back. Try to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Just look out at the street, how hellish it is. Don't want to come back. We want to go to that place, you know, where no one throws stones at the windows at Mangal Arati. Samshitaye pada palava plavam mahaparam punya yashomarare bhavam vudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. That place where there is no miseries, not this place where there is danger at every step. You want to go there. So the process is so nice that we can make very rapid advancement by pleasing the devotee. And we should understand also that offense of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava doesn't just mean a spiritual master, it means any Vaishnava. As I said the other day, I don't know if it was here, Prabhupada was having Brahmananda Prabhu give a lecture at one initiation ceremony. He said that, you know, this offense, the first offense against the holy name, means to blaspheme devotees who've dedicated their lives for preaching the glories of the Lord, so you should be very careful never to offend Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, that means? No, he said, that means all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees. So it's not just, you know, that this devotee or that devotee, it means anyone who's engaged in the process, we have to be very careful not to offend. That means to ridicule, to make fun of, not just to stand up and say, this guy's a nut, but to make a joke on some devotee's behalf or to speak ill of him unnecessarily or whatever. So we have to be very careful. To please means to advance rapidly, and to displease, because it is by the advancement, it is by the grace of God, the advancement of a guru, the grace of guru, and the grace of the Vaishnavas, the combined grace of the Vaishnavas, that we're making advancement in devotional service. So you should be very careful not to offend anyone, but to always try to please everyone. Like they say, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. But actually, if you become a devotee, you can. This is the miracle of Krishna consciousness, because the six Goswamis did it. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. So actually, it is possible. If we become pure devotees, we can please everyone all the time. If we see we're not pleasing somebody, etc., etc., and then we're thinking it's that guy. No, we shouldn't think that. We think it's the impurities in my heart. Because once I become pure, then I'll be able to offer service to everyone. Everyone will be satisfied.